All right, good morning. Sorry to late. Let's get started. Today's daf in Shabbos, daf Chav Tes. We're starting with the Mishnah in Chav Ches Amud Beis, and we continue. We continue the discussion of lighting Neiros on Shabbos. So now we're well beyond the basics of what is the reason behind lighting Neiros, and what wicks are good, and what oils are good, and what wicks are no good, and what oils are no good. And now we move on to the apparatus of the actual Neir itself. Now, again, I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. Neir, we translate as a candle, but it's not a good translation. Neir is really the whole lamp itself. Over the course of today, we're going to be speaking about the lamp. And before we get to the discussion of the lamp, however, we first going to deal with the Mishnah about the wick. Now, we're not talking about wicks in terms of what materials are good and what materials are not. That's already been discussed in the Mishnayos and in the Gemara. We're going to be discussing a different issue. Now, it's not clear from the Mishnah what the issue actually is. So what we'll do first is we'll learn the Mishnah together. We'll just get familiar with the terminology of the Mishnah, and then we'll try to gain some understanding of what the Mishnah is concerned about, what we're worried about. The Mishnah we know already. We say it every Friday night in Shul between Mincha Maariv, right before Maariv. But this Mishnah, and actually the next one that we're going to be learning today, is without proper starting, is really just kind of a mystery in terms of what's going on and what the issue is. The Mishnah starts off, Psilas HaBeged, Shekipla V'lo Yivava. So I have a beged, I have a garment. Now, we're not talking about a garment meaning an actual shirt or a pair of pants. We're talking about a swatch of fabric. Okay, we call it a beged because, as we're going to see in the Gemara, it conforms to minimum size. Now, we've just been talking about minimum size of a garment. If it's 3x3 tefachim, everyone's in agreement, that's for sure going to be a functional beged. That's bein lanim, bein lashirim, to wealthy and poor alike. We're talking now, again, I'm giving away some of the Gemara, we're talking about a beged that's 3 by gimel and gimel, it's about 3 by 3 inches, which basically now means that, okay, there's not much I could do with it in terms of a garment, but what I'll do is I'll turn it into a wick. I'll just simply fold it up, I'll turn it into a wick. We learned not that long ago that old, tattered, worn-out clothing worn by the Kohanim. So what would they do with it? So they basically turned it into wicks. So here now we're talking about a beged, which basically I'm turning into a wick. Now what I do here is I fold it over. Kipla, kofel means to fold it over. V'lo hivava. And I didn't singe it. I didn't scorch it. So that means to say that the garment is just simply, has been totally unprepared and untreated for its being used as a wick. So Rabbi Lazar Omer Tamehi Ve'im Alekim Bas. Rabbi Lazar makes 2 points. Now, are these 2 points connected? So stay tuned as we're going to see this in the Gemara. Thank you. The 2 points are, is that number one, it's Tamea. Now, Tamehi doesn't mean it is Tamei. Tamehi means that it's susceptible to Tumah. It's Mekabel Tumah. Meaning the fact that it's folded doesn't change the fact that it's a garment. And so therefore it's susceptible to Tumah. Ve'im Madlikin Ba, and you can't light with it. Now, tumah and lighting are two totally different issues, meaning they really shouldn't have one to do with the other. Meaning that the fact that it's mekabel tumah, it's not mekabel tumah, is 1 point, it's one issue. And whether or not you can light it on Friday night seems to be a totally different issue. And why the Mishnah puts the two together, and it sounds like one impacts on the other, but we're smarter than that, quote unquote, right? We know that whether it's mekabel tumah or not, what should that have to do with whether or not I could use it as a wick? Okay, so that's Rabbi Lazar's position. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Tahora hiu Madlikin Ba. Rabbi Kiva says it's Tahora. Okay, it's not Mekabel Tumah. And Madlikin Ba, and you could use it as your wick. You could light with it going into Shabbos. Okay, that's the Mishnah. We all know the Mishnah, but, and even after I went through the Mishnah, like, what's going on? And what do these 2 points have to do one with another? So that's where we now move beyond the Mishnah. We start with the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to really put everything into a certain perspective. Now the Gemara starts off, Bisham Lenin Tumah Ba'apligi. Now look, as far as Tumah is concerned, right, there are two issues in the Mishnah. Tumah and lighting, using the wicks for light. So as far as Tumah is concerned, that's an easy issue to understand. We got. Good. The question is a very simple question. When I take a garment and I fold it, does folding a garment actually change the dimensions of a garment? Right? Very simple. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the answer is no, it doesn't. Meaning because just as much as I fold it, I can unfold it. So that means to say then that folding a garment, even though by folding it I've now reduced its area, surface area in half, with a simple fold. But Rebbe Elazar says, okay, as much as I folded it, I can unfold it. So in other words, so in terms of what it's its total surface area, it hasn't changed at all, even with a fold. And Rabbi Akiva will disagree, and Rabbi Akiva says, no. Once you folded it, so now you've reduced it in half. So let's say it was 3 by 3, so with a simple fold, now what is it? It's 3 by 1.5. That's not the amount required or necessary for Tumas Begadim. So that's the debate between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva regarding the fold and Tumma. But how does that now impact the next point of the Mishnah? Elal inyan halakha b'may pligi. So, but how do you understand the issue of halakha? So, this is a very tough question, and the Gemara is going to give us a number of approaches in terms of how to understand this. So now we start off this morning with approach number 1. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Yoshi, v'chein Amar Rav Ada b'ava, hacha b'gimel ha'gimel mitzumtzamos haskinan. So, number 1. We're talking about a garment that's exactly 3 by 3 etzbaos. Gimel al gimel. Okay? We know anything smaller than that is not a beged. Good. So it's precisely 3 by 3. Uve yom tov shechal yos Erev Shabbos askinan. And furthermore, it's not just a regular Erev Shabbos, because if it's a regular Erev Shabbos, so what? It's 3 by 3. It's less than 3 by 3. It's mekabel tumah, it's not mekabel tumah. So what? Meaning it doesn't matter. We're talking specifically about Erev Shabbos, where that Erev Shabbos happens to be Yontif. Yontif is Friday. So now I'm lighting my Nero Shabbos on Yontif for Friday night. Totally acceptable. Not only totally acceptable, that's what we're supposed to do. When you have Yontif and Friday going back to back, you're supposed to light your Shabbos licht on Yontif for Friday night. Now you need Erev Tavshilim, but that's a different story for a different time. But right now, that's the setup of the case. The Kulei Am Uslu de Rav Yehuda. And another thing to take into consideration before we even analyze our Mishnah. We're going to subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, this is not the first time we've seen this in the course of our Masechta. We've seen this before, but now we get to review. Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, do we subscribe to the concept of Muksa? Now, there, to a certain degree, everybody subscribes to Muksa. No one is going to just simply ignore the issue of Muksa, but there's a basic debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in terms of how expansive Muksa is. Rabbi Yehuda expands the concept of Muksa so that it has multiple applications. I know I'm being vague right now, but that's fine. And according to Rabbi Shimon has a very limited, a very constricted viewpoint of muksa. Muksa applies only in certain situations, but that's it. So here now, we're going to subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds of all types of muksa, including, I'm going to introduce you to a concept which we haven't seen yet, nolad. Nolad means something which is born. Okay, the first Mishnah in Beitzah, we'll get to it shortly enough. Just a short, I'd say 8-9 months from, no, more. More. About a year from now. All right, we have Shabbos and Erevin to go through. But the first Mishnah in Beitzah talks about an egg which is laid on Yontif. Nolad. That egg now you can't use. Why? Because before Yontif the egg wasn't here. Now on Yontif the egg is here. That's called Nolad. And by the way, that's the most literal interpretation of Nolad. The egg is actually born on Yontif. So anytime you have now, we're going to use a looser interpretation for now, anytime you have a birth of an item on Yontif, meaning the item wasn't here before Yontif, and now it's here on Yontif, so anytime you have the birth of an item, so therefore that's Nolad, and according to Rav Yehuda, it's aser because of Muksa, because of the concept of Muksa. Now, muksa simply means, I should have mentioned this a moment ago, muksa just simply means that it was not designated for Shabbos or for Yontif, and so therefore you cannot use it, you cannot move it, you can't benefit from it on Shabbos or on Yontif. We are going to assume in the course of our Mishnah over here that both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah subscribe to Rav Yehuda. Now, of course, we know that Rav Yehuda came after them, but it just simply means that, obviously, Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon is an older machlokas. And so these older Tanaim, so to say, Rabbi Kiv and Rabbi Eliezer, agree to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, who hold of Muksa. The Amr, Masikim Bekelim, Vein, Masikim Beshiver Kelim. And what does Rabbi Yehuda therefore say, based on the concept of Nolad, that if I have Kelim, if I have utensils on Yontif, I can use them as fuel. But if they're Shivrei Kelim, what does that mean, Shivrei Kelim? Meaning, on Yontif, going into Yontif, it was a Kli. It was a bona fide Kli. And then somebody dropped it, and it broke, on Yontif. So now those pieces, what are those pieces called? So the Gemara refers to them as Shivrei Kelim, broken shards. And therefore what? They weren't here before Yontif. Now I know, what does that mean, they weren't here before Yontif? Of course they were. They were part of the Kli. But in the present state that they are right now, they weren't like that going into Yontif. So now I'll say to myself, look, it's Shivei Kelim, it's broken shards. Now, we're not talking about pottery because they don't really burn that well. Let's talk about wood or anything which is flammable. So I'll take the broken shards and I'll just simply throw it into the oven on Yontif and I will use it as full fuel for Yontif. Rav Yehuda says you can't do that because the broken shards were not broken before Yontif. They only came into being on Yontif itself. Therefore, it's muksa subcategory nolad. Therefore, you cannot use it on Yontif. And so now, with all that in place, I know that's a lot of pieces of information. With all that in place, now we're going to go back to our Mishnah. We're going to look at our Mishnah. Now we're going to understand. And I spoke too soon. There's one other thing to consider before going back to the Mishnah and analyzing the Mishnah. And that is, that Ula says that when you are Madlik, when you light for your Neiros, so you have to make sure that most of it is ignited. Right? You have to be Tzarech She'adlik Berov HaYotzei. Meaning most of it has to catch fire before you can remove your hand.
Most of the wick.
So now, Rebbe Allah, now I could say it. Now with all that in place, meaning, let's see if we could review. The Begin in question is exactly 3x3 etzbos. No more, no less. We're subscribing in our Mishnah to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, everybody, meaning Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, subscribes to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that Nolad is prohibited. Anything which was not here before Shabbos or Yontif, and now came into being on Shabbos and Yontif, is now prohibited. Furthermore, we're going like Ula, which is that when you light, you have to light the majority of the wick before you can retract your hand. Now let's say our Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kipol ein amovel." And so Rabbi Elazar says, look, what did I do with this wick? Now again, what was this wick? It was a garment that was exactly 3x3. I folded it. Rabbi Elazar says, so what? Folding doesn't do anything. It doesn't change anything. Still, this garment is 3x3. They came into Adlik Bay Porta, Havilei Shever Kli. And so now, I light a little bit of it. So what have I done now? I've reduced it. By lighting a little bit of it, I've now turned it from something which was 3x3 to something which is a little less than 3x3. So now, what has to become on Yontif? Shever Kli. A broken shard. A broken Kli. Kli in this context is a garment, but so what? By 3x3, it's a Kli. Less than 3x3, it's not a Kli. Shever Kli, v'chi kamadlik, v'shever Kli, Kli kamadlik. And so therefore, on Yontif now, what am I lighting? I'm lighting Nolad, and I'm not allowed to light something which is Nolad on Yontif. That is the position of Rabbi Eliezer. So what the Gemara has brilliantly done, it's complicated, but what the Gemara has brilliantly done is really connected the two issues of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah now says that if it's 3x3, according to Rabbi Eliezer, and I fold it, it's still going to be Mekabel Tuma, and therefore I can't light it. Why can't I light it? Because we're talking about a specific case where it's exactly 3x3, where I folded it. It's Erev Shabbos, but not just Erev Shabbos, it's Erev Shabbos and Yontif. And now, as I start to light it, it's now being reduced at the beginning of the lighting. So now it went from a Kli to a Shever Kli. Since we're subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda, a Shever Kli is under the category of Nolad, which is Muksa, which means that I cannot light it on Yontif. And as a result of that, so therefore, you're not allowed to light such a beggar. You're not allowed to use it as a wick going into Yontif.
What is it larger than precise size? I mean, so
if it's larger, so then when I light it, I will reduce it, but it still will be a beggar. Meaning only because it's exactly 3x3, and now that the moment I started lighting it, I've now reduced it. That small reduction has now made it into a not beggar, right? A beggar minus, if you will. And so therefore it's Shever Kli. And now we have the Nolad discussion. If it's 4x4 and I start lighting it, so it's true it's going to get reduced, but it's still a Begad.
But at one time it's going to reach a Shever Kli.
Okay, Gemara's going to ask your question. Let's stay tuned. Rabbi Kiva Savar Akipo Mawel, Vein Torus Kli Alav. So now Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva says that once you fold it, folding it transforms it. Meaning Rabbi Kiva's starting point of the whole discussion is you put a fold in it, so it's no longer 3x3. It's 3x1.5. And let's assume you folded it before Yontif. I mean, if you folded it on Yontif itself, so then we're in the we're going to be in the same discussion. So I've transformed it from a kli to a shever kli. So let's put the fold in there before Yontif. Okay, and that's not my observation.
So
that's,
when you fold it, it becomes muhlan.
Huh? So now when it's folded, so now it is a shever kli before Yontif,
right,
preparing it now for Yontif. And now you're lighting it on Yontif. You're not lighting Nolad because it wasn't...
You're not creating Nolad
because by you folding it, you've now transformed it into a shever kli, and so therefore lighting on Nolad is fine. That is the approach number one of our Mishnah.
So that would be a gzerah. When you light it, you're okay. Just after you light it, it becomes mukzah.
Or say it again. What?
When you light it, you're okay. It's done that until it burns down a little.
But well, no, no. Oh, that's why you needed ula. That's why you needed ula.
Right.
Meaning, if it had it not been for ula, right, so then you'd be right. But ula says that no, lighting by definition means that you got to keep your hand there
until so you're actually creating the Nola as you're lighting.
Right, right.
Oh, beautiful.
That, it's ingenious, it's brilliant, mm-hmm, but it takes a lot. It takes a lot of maneuvering in the Mishnah to get to this point. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, Hanid de Tanina. Now, Rav Yosef says, but now that I heard the Apshat, so now I finally, the light bulb went off. I've been hearing this Braisa forever. I never understood the Braisa, and now I get it. Well, first of all, what's the Braisa? Amar Rav Yosef, Hanid de Tanina, Gemal Gemim Mitzum Tzamos. The Braisa kept saying that the wick here in question is not 3x3, it's exactly 3x3. And Rav Yosef was saying for years, I didn't understand. Well, I'm dramatizing, but okay. I hope you enjoy the drama. But for years I've been hearing this exactly 3x3 Braisa, and I didn't get it. What does that mean, exactly 3x3? Why does it have to be exactly 3x3? But now in the context of our discussion, where the issue is Nolad and Kli and Shever Kli and Ula, it's not just the starting of the lighting, but I got to keep my hand there, and it's Erev Yontif on Shabbos. Right, I hope we got all that. I'm sorry, it's Erev Shabbos and Yontif coinciding. So now that we're here, and now I read the Braisa, and all the Braisa says is Gimel Gimel Mitzum Samos, I finally get it. I understand why the Braisa says Mitzum Samos. V'lo yadan l'may hilchaso, medikam et taretz ravada ba'ava, libe de Rav Yehuda, shema mina, v'lo yadan l'may hilchaso. I didn't know why that Braisa specifically pointed to the halacha of exactly 3x3, but now I know. Okay. Good. Now, in this explanation that we gave in our Mishnah, we said that both parties of our Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, subscribed to Rabbi Yehuda. So what do you see? So what you see from our Mishnah, at least the way we're presenting it, is everyone agrees to Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, as a matter of fact, we've now learned in our Mishnah that we all agree to Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, not all of us. Obviously, Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree, but you have two giants, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, who subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that tells us something. I'm sorry, umi dekamitar, tzavada ba'ava, libid Rabbi Yehuda shmamina, to Rabbi Yehuda sfirulei. So you see that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And not that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning whatever we hold, we hold. But in other words, Rav Ada Ba'ava holds like Rabbi Yehuda. We're now on the top of Chavtes Amad Aleph. Nachri Shechaka Kav Bebikas Yisrael Misika B'Yamtov. If I have a non-Jew, and he took a log, and he dug a hole in the log, so now basically what he did is he took this log, and he turned it from a log into a utensil, meaning he made a toch in it. Now he's not Jewish, so he could do whatever he wants. But me, as the Jew, I have the following issue. Now, what was it going into Yontif? It was a log. What did it become on Yontif? It became a utensil. So now we have a concept of Nolad. It is turned into something on Yontif, which it wasn't before. So, what did Rav Ada Ba'ava say on this? Go ahead. If it's Yontif, go ahead, light it on Yontif. You could use it as your fuel on Yontif. Ve'amai Nolad Hu. So the Gemara says, but aren't we worried about the issue of Nolad? And when explaining our Mishnah here in Shabbos, on Daf Chavches Amud Beis, didn't you say that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer subscribe to Nolad? And so what are you doing, Rav Ada Ba'ava? You seem to be ignoring the issue of Nolad. So the Gemara's answer is L'divreihem de Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva kamar lei v'lei lo sfir lei. So the Gemara says, look, there's learning and then there's halacha. And I mean that, you know, obviously with some sophistication. Meaning when you're trying to understand the Mishnah, so you'll give a pshat in the Mishnah. And Rav Ada Bar Ava does that. And part of the pshat is that the parties in the Mishnah, the Tanaim in the Mishnah, subscribe to Nolan. But then, brass taxes, when it talks about the halacha, what is the halacha? He himself lo sfirulei. He doesn't agree with this general premise of Nolad. He's a Rabbi Shimon Muksa. He's of the Rabbi Shimon Muksa party, and so therefore he doesn't subscribe to Nolad. So we ask him the question: Here I had a piece of lumber that was carved out, and now it turns into a kli, and it was done so on Yontif. So therefore, we have a Nolad issue. So Rav Ada Bar Ava says, as far as I'm concerned, no issue. I don't subscribe to Nolad. Okay, that is one explanation of our Mishnah. Okay, and that was given to us by Rav Elazar the Amora, Rav Yoshia, and Rav Ada Bar Ava. There seemed to have been an inconsistency in Rav Ada Bar Ava. The Gemara says, no, there's not. Meaning when he's explaining our Mishnah, he's explaining it through the method of Nolad, through the principle of Nolad, but he himself doesn't subscribe to Nolad. Good, that's one. Rav Amar, Hainu time to Rav Elazar, Lefi Shem Malik, Mepthila She'ena Mechureches, V'lom B'smartutin She'ena Mechurechen. So, the Rava gives a different explanation of our Mishnah. Do you know why Rabbi Eliezer says you can't light with such a wick? Because it wasn't singed. And because it wasn't singed, in general. Meaning this is not a Yontif issue. This is just a general. Wicks need to be singed. And if it's not singed, you can't light it. It doesn't light well. So, Elahad deni Rav Yosef Gimel Gimel Mitzvah Samosa Mayelchasa. Now, it's a totally different pshat in our Mishnah. And it's a really simple pshat in our Mishnah. It just happens to be that in order to use a wick, it has to be pre-singed before lighting. Good. So assuming that that's true, so then let's go back to that braisa of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught us a braisa of Gimel Gimel Mitzum Samos. Now based on the previous explanation, we understood. But now, if the issue in the Mishnah has nothing to do with 3x3 exact, it just happens to be an issue of you need it to be singed. So what do we do with this braisa? So the Gemara says, "Lenin Tuma, Dinan Gimel Gimel Shamer Chutz Min Amalal Diver Rabbi Shimon V'Chacham Amomrim Gimel Gimel Mechuvanos." So for that braisa, I'll just give a totally different interpretation of that braisa, and it basically goes like follows. I'll use my tie as an example. Not a great example, but it'll do. Now, no, I appreciate it. You know, I'd like it if I can go the whole day without having to wear this thing, but, you know, apparently the minhag is that we have to hang ourselves every day. So, okay, so this is not bad, actually. So in other words, it's 3x3. So obviously I'm ignoring the rest of this tie, but I'm just looking over here. Now, in order to create a swatch of 3x3, so, and this tie is such a good example, you need a hem. Meaning that obviously it didn't start off at 3x3. Obviously there's a little piece over here on the other side. And what happens is that you make a swatch that's greater than 3x3, leave a space for the hem, and what you're going to do eventually is you're going to fold over the hem and stitch the hem. Okay? Look at the things you learn with me. Now, the issue over here is as follows. When we say that the minimum size of a cloth is 3x3, is that including or is that excluding the hem? It's really that simple. And that's the machlokas in our Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. And that's what the Braisa is opining on. The Braisa that says it has to be Gimel, Gimel, Mitzum, Samos is taking a position of do we or do we not count the hem towards this minimum shear of 3x3 etzbaos. Let's see it in the Gemara inside. In other words, but it has nothing to do with lighting, not lighting. It's just simply a different issue altogether in the world of Tum and Tahara. I want to read it one more time in the Gemara. Elahad deni Rav Yosef Gimel Gimel Mitzum Samos on my Hilchasa. Linyan Tum Aditnam. We learned in the Mishnah. Gimel Gimel Shamer Chutz Min Amalal. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says it's excluding the Malal, meaning it doesn't include the Hem. And Rav Chachamim Omrim, Gimel Gimel Mechuvanos. No, it's Gimel Gimel, exactly. So, in other words, and you have to take the hem into consideration, and you have to realize that the hem is going to be folded over, so it has to be within with the consideration of the hem.
What does that mean? does that mean that it's actually smaller than Gimel?
Right. In other words, what can come out now is that it'll be smaller than Gimel al Gimel.
Oh, when you, they're saying that's what the Machlokes is, whether it's Makufo or not?
Right. And that's the, correct. And that's the issue back in our Mishnah. But in other words, they are, what this Pshat does in our Mishnah is it really separates the two issues. They're two totally separate issues. The Tumah Tahara issue really doesn't even belong here in Shabbos, meaning it's a Kalim issue. It should be in Kalim. Okay. The problem on Shabbos is that if you don't singe the... folding has nothing to do with Shabbos. Folding is folding. That's a hem issue. That's a sheer issue.
The folding issue doesn't go on Shabbos.
No, the folding has nothing to do with Shabbos. The issue with Shabbos is lo hiv hava. You didn't singe it. You didn't scorch it. That's the issue. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav, Masikim Mekelim, Vein Masikim Meshiv, Rekelim, Div Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon Matir. Okay, and so now, we talked about Nolad, so now what the Gemara will do for a good part of this daf now, is continue and advance the discussion of Nolad. So again, let's go over what we already said once this morning, but let's review. There's a general machlok between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon regarding the issue of Muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda has a more expansive definition of Muktzah, which includes Nolad and includes other things as well. At a later time, we'll discuss it in more detail. In fact, towards the end of Masechet Shabbos, we will discuss this in much greater detail. And Rabbi Shimon has a very limited definition of Muktzah. And so, Nolad is going to be a practical application of this Machlokas, where Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to Nolad as a subcategory of Muktzah, and Rabbi Shimon says, nah, No such phenomena as Nolad, no such issue as Nolad. Okay? I know it sounds very strange that this is subject to a debate amongst the Amoraim. Sorry. Tanaim, but it is. So the Gemara now gives examples of Nolad. So one example, which we already saw, but we get to review. So Masika Mekelim, Masika Meshiv, Kelim, Div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Matir. So example number one is a kli. I had a utensil, it dropped, it broke, and now I have only the pieces of the utensil. This occurred on Yontif. That's Shivrei Kalim. That's Nolad. It wasn't there before Yontif. Now you have to understand, what does that mean it wasn't there before Yontif? Of course it was. It wasn't there in the current state that it is right now. Good. That's number one. Number two, Masikim B'Tamarim, Achlan Ein Masikim B'Garinayim. Let's say you want to use dates as fuel. Now I don't know how well dates burn. I have not tried this at home. But apparently dates are an excellent fuel. So if you want to take dates and throw them into the fire in order to heat up your oven, by all means, go ahead. But if you ate the dates and all you have now are the pits, Ein Masikim B'Garinayim, Divrei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says you can't use the pits as fuel. Dried date pit is Nolad, and therefore you can't use it as fuel. And Rabbi Shimon Matir, and Rabbi Shimon says, look, that's fine by me. I'm okay with it. I don't subscribe to Nolad. Now, the pits are born. Right? You like that, right? You like the way that sounds? The pits are born. Meaning, if you can imagine, I mean, it's. I'm just saying this by way of analogy, meaning it's not much different than a mother... I mean, it is different, but I'm saying conceptually. It's a mother had a baby inside, the mother expelled the baby, so that's Nolad, that's born. The pit was inside of the fruit, it was expelled. Now, I know expelled over here is a little bit strange, I ate the fruit around it, but that's Nolad as well, the pit is born. Masikim begos and achlanim masikim bekliposeim. Now, what about walnut shells, or for any matter, any shell of a nut? So this is going to be a fascinating permutation of the whole concept of Nolad. If I want to take the nut and throw it into the fire, fine. But if I eat the nut, the content of the nut, and all I'm left with is the shells are Nolad. And so therefore, we're back to the machlokas. Rav Yehuda says, I can't use the shells as fuel. Div Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says it's fine, it's mutter. Okay. Now, Utsricha, now all three of these examples are necessary because each example is going to show us an insight into Nolad which we wouldn't have known from the other examples. An example number one, you could see that easily being a case of Nolad because there, the Shivrei Kli is something that simply was not there before, meaning it's a totally new entity. But the pits in the fruit, in the date, they didn't change. There was no transformation. It happened to have been inside a fruit. but it was always there. So I might have thought that that's not Nolad. So example number two is coming to tell me that the Dain inside the pit, if I ate the pit, that is considered Nolad. Did I say eat the pit? Yeah, I did say that. Okay, yeah, I just thought about that, and I realized now I misspoke. It happens often. And if I ate the fruit, so then the pit inside is considered Nolad. And again, Rabbi Huda would say you can't use it, and Rabbi Shimon said you could. The Iyash, meaning...
Fire.
Fuel for the fire. Pits burn beautifully. Pits burn? Sounds like Pittsburgh. Pits burn beautifully. So says the Gemara. I haven't tried it at home. The Iyash mean and Garinim have amin demikar mechasim v'hashem megalin haval klipe goes in demikar migle v'hashem migle eim ashaper dami. And the third example, well, that you already can figure out. Meaning, think about the third example. We're talking about the shell of a nut. The shell of the nut is the exterior of the nut. So there you could easily argue, that's not Nolad. I'm looking right at it. But the Gemara is coming to teach us, no, that's also a consequence of Nolad. That's also going to fall under the category of Nolad. Because they were once upon a time a shell protecting the inside, and now it's just a shell. That's Nolad as well. And again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot use that as fuel. And Rabbi Shimon would say you could use that as fuel. Obviously, by the way, this has no application on Shabbos itself. It only has an application on Yontif. You're not going to be burning anything on Shabbos. Good. But wait, one second. Give me a moment. Now, this statement of Rav, remember, this was all came to us via Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So this statement of Rav is not said explicitly, but it's based on the following. Because look, I'm telling you, here's what Rav did. So Rav, when he ate his pits, so he would sit right by the oven. He would eat his pits, and when he got... Eat his pits. Again. He ate his dates, thank you. He ate his dates, and when he got to the pit, what did he do with the pit? He threw it into the oven. And that's how he kept doing it. Obviously on Yontif. Okay? And he threw it into the oven, and so now... So, Vishada Kashisa Labuchya. Abuchya, says Rashi, is a oven. So, Amalei Rabbi Chia Bar Pachzei. Sorry, he wasn't doing this on Yontif, I apologize. He was doing this during the week. Okay, but the point's going to be the same point. But it was during the week he did this. So now, Amalei Rabbi Chia, so Uncle Rabbi Chia, right? Rabbi Chia was the uncle of Rav, and also the Rabbi of Rav. Rav learned under Rabbi Chia, and he also learned under Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So Rabbi Chia said, Bar Pachzei, Kenegdo beyontov aser. So Rabbi Chia says to Rav, you can't do that on Yontif. Why not? Very simple. Because of Nolad. Because the pits now that you are extracting from the fruit are born, meaning in our category of Nolad, it's born. And so as a consequence of that, so now you are using Nolad on Yontif. You can't do that. And that's what Uncle Rabbi Chia told Rav. Now, kibla mine o lo kibla mine. Now, to this, the Gemara asks a very simple question. Rabbi Chia said it, but does Rav accept it? So, Tashma, dechia asur of labava, achatamar vishadu kashis lechiyusa. So, the Gemara tells the story of Rav going out to Bavel, meaning, Rav, obviously, over the course of his life, made a major move. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, obviously, because he learned under Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and Rabbi Chia, who were the leaders of the Jewish community of Eretz Yisrael, and he subsequently moved to Bavel, and he becomes the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Sura. Okay? So he makes the move to Bavel, and in Bavel it's reported, right, the Gemara often, not often, but at times tells us various things that Rav either experienced or saw when he made the move from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. One of the things that he saw, which confounded him, is that in Bavel they had this minhag that they said halal on Rosh Chodesh. He was looking at them like, what are you doing? It's Rosh Chodesh, it's not Yontif. Okay, so anyway, we still have that minhag to this very day, as I'm sure you all figured out. Dechiasa Rav Bavel, achal tamar v'shadeh kashisa l'chisa. So here, when Rav went out to Bavel, so it's been reported that he would eat the dates. So look, I said it correctly. That's exciting. He ate the dates, and he threw the pit into the oven, and presumably the Gemara is telling us that this occurred on Yontif. So what do you see over here? He didn't accept his uncle's ruling. Okay, so now my law, bit parsiasa. Now here the Gemara is going to speak in terms of types of dates. Okay, now right, I don't speak now the Persian dates versus the Aramean dates, but I'm telling you what the Gemara is going to tell us. Persian dates are dates where the fruit and the pit separate cleanly. There is a clean separation between fruit and date. The Aramean dates apparently don't make such a clean separation. Even after you eat the fruit, the meat of the date, there's still going to be some of the meat, some of the fruit connected to the date. Okay? These are your two variations of dates. Okay. And so the Gemara is assuming like this. Now, when he ate his dates and threw the pits into the fire, are we not talking about Persian dates? Meaning we don't know. We're conjecturing. But are we not talking about Persian dates? Velo kibla. And that means as follows. Now you have a pristine, clean pit. That's Nolad. And so what did he do? He threw it into the oven. And what does that show us? He didn't listen to his uncle. Meaning he did not accept the ruling of his uncle. So the Gemara's answer is, Lo ba'ar mi'isa ho v'chazi agav imayu. And the Gemara says, no. Because perhaps, I mean, the Gemara doesn't know this, but perhaps the date that he was eating was not the Persian date. Perhaps it was the Aramean date. And you know those Aramean dates. I don't, but they're sticky. And apparently, even when you get down to the pit, there's still some of the date on the pit. And so therefore, it's not a question of Nolad. Because when he's throwing it into the oven, you can easily argue that I'm throwing the pit, but the pit together with the date itself. Meaning as long as there's some residue date on the pit, that's fine. Look, everyone was in agreement that the full date, you could throw that in the oven. So here I have a pit plus a little bit of date. It's fine. Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Chanan Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Dam Amisikim Bekelim Amisikim Shevei Kelim Kevin Da Adlik Bahu Porta Havelei Shevei Kelim V'chika Mahapech B'Yisurika Mahapech. So now, Alex, basically the Gemara now is asking your question. So now let's understand this. According to Rav Yehuda, how are you ever lighting a piece of wood on Yantiv? Meaning every time you light, you're starting with a kli, right? Assuming it's a kli, meaning it could be Shevei Kelim, but you're lighting a kli, and then when you light it, you're basically transforming it from a kli into a Shever kli every single time you're lighting it. So according to Rav Yehuda, it's like one of those, right, we have these now come up a couple times in the Masechta. Like one of these very simple questions, like according to Rav Yehuda,
klutz-kasha.
Yeah, it's a klutz, exactly, thank you. That's a great way to describe it, because that's what it is. It's a klutz kasha. According to Rav Yehuda, how are you lighting your wicks on Yantiv? How do you do that? You're taking a kli, you're turning it into a Shever kli, and you, Rav Yehuda, subscribe to Nolad, so now you're using Nolad. So the Gemara's answer is as follows. I apologize, I just reread the question. The Gemara's answer is, Da'avad kidarav masna. The Amar of masna, Amar Rav, Eitzim shenishru min adekel litanor, biyom tov, mar be'eitzim uchanim, So the Gemara says it's based on the following principle that we will learn together in Masechta Beitza, and we're going to learn it early on in Masechta Beitza. Imagine the following case. It takes a little bit of creativity, but just imagine. I have an oven, the oven's outside. A branch from a tree breaks on Yontiv and falls right into the oven. That's Nolad, right? Agreed. And now, since it's Nolad, so that would then mean that I would not be allowed to light that oven on Yontif, because the fuel now is made up from a branch that going into Yontif was connected to a tree. Okay? So that's Nolad, it's Muksa. I cannot do that. However, Rav Masna teaches us in Masechta Beitza, here's what I can do. Throw a lot of prepared lumber on top of it. I've now created Bittul, and so then go ahead and light it. So what the Gemara now is basically essentially arguing is, you'll do the same thing over here, according to Rav Yehuda. You'll take this Shever Kli, this Muksa that I created, you'll add to it non-Muksa wick, and that's how you will arrive at an acceptable Nair on going on Yontif. Now if all this sounds weird and a little bit awkward, meaning essentially what the Gemara Beitza is telling us to do is create Bittul. Now we know, the Gemara says very clearly, you're not allowed to create bittul. In fact, the Gemara there in Beitza asked the question, Ein mevatlin issa lechatchila, you're not allowed to create bittul. Bittul is only after the fact. Bittul is only if I have heter and iser get mixed up together, and if I have more heter than iser, then and only then can I say that there's bittul. But here, we're talking about what the Gemara over there is instructing is, you can go ahead, you can create bittul. Throw a whole bunch of prepared lumber on top of the branch, and you're fine because of bittul. So the Gemara does not ask this question. The Rishonim asks this question, and the classic answer, I'm not sure if I'm really at liberty to say this is the answer, but the classic answer that's given is that if it's Isser, meaning an Isser d'Oraisa or a bona fide Isser d'Rabbanan, so then you can't be Mevatel Isser l'Chatchila. But what are we discussing over here? What's the Isser in question over here? An Isser of Muktza. Muktza is d'Rabbanan, and the argument can be made, it's not just a d'Rabbanan, it's a lower level d'Rabbanan. On another occasion, I'll explain that better, why it's a lower level d'Rabbanan, and so therefore, under these circumstances, you can't actually create Bittul. Okay, let's do one more for today. Rav Hamnuna Amar Hacha Bepachus Mishlosha Shlosha Askinan Umekule Matlani Yoshanu Kan. This is now, let's call this now the third approach to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah now is talking about where it's less than Gimel al-Gimel, but Shlosha al-Shlosha. Remember what I taught yesterday? Shlosha al-Shlosha over here means not Etzba'os, it means Tvachim. And Kule Matlani Yoshanu Kan V'az Rav Loz L'tamid Rav Yikiv L'tamid did not Pachus Mishlosha al-Shlosha Sheitkin L'Pkak Boas Amerchatz L'Onera Boas Ekedera. I have a swatch of fabric that's less than 3x3 Tvachim, but I intend to use it either to stuff up the bathhouse, or to hold as a pot holder, or kanechbos erechayim, or to wipe the millstone. Rabbi Eliezer says it's subject to tumah because it still has utility. And Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Yeshua says no. What are you talking about? It's less than 3x3 tefachim. And then Rabbi Akiva Omer minamuchan tamei b'shalom minamuchan tahor. And Rabbi Akiva straddles the fence. Well, it depends if it's set aside or if it's not set aside. Stay tuned. Amar Ulav Item Rabba Barbachanam Rav Yochanan Kol Modim Zarkabashma Divrei Kol Tahor. Look, if I have a shmata, okay, that's how my mother would say. If I have a shmata and it's less than 3x3 and I throw it into the garbage, we're all in agreement. Batal umevutal, meaning I've now demonstrated by action I am not interested in this garment anymore, and so therefore it's no longer clean. Divrei Alkol, I'm sorry, fine. Right, that's Divrei Alkol Tahor. Then we would have total consensus amongst everybody, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, that it would be Tahor. Hinichu b'kufta, however, if I have a shmata, and it's less than 3x3, but what do I do with such a shmata? I put it into one of my cubbies, I put it into a drawer, Divrei Alkol Tahor. Everyone's going to agree that that's Tahor. Because I'm showing that I still have utility for it. Lo nechleku elo shetalo b'magid. Sorry, b'magod oshinuch l'acharei adalas. The question is, I didn't throw it in the garbage. I didn't put it in my drawer. I hung it on a peg. Rabbi Eliezer savra madla zarka ba'ashba dati elavei. Umay kari shalom min amuchan delagabi kufsa lav min amuchan hu. Well, according to Rav Yeshua, because I didn't put it into the drawer, so therefore that's demonstrative of the fact I don't care for it. I hung it on the peg. So what? If I want to demonstrate that I want it, I got to put it in the drawer. Rabbi Yeshua said, "Remad lehanicha bekufsa betule batle umaykari lemuchan delgabe ashma muchanu." And Rabbi Yeshua will say, "No. The fact that I hung it on a peg that shows that I want it, and it, my demonstration of not wanting it has to be where I throw in the garbage." Rabbi Akiva betala b'magot savor k'Rabbi Eliezer beinicha charei adal savor like Rabbi Yeshua. And where does Rabbi Akiva straddle the fence? Well, if I'm talo b'magod, if I hang it on a peg, that shows that I want it. If I hang it over the back of the door, that's not enough demonstration that I want it. So that's where Rabbi Akiva straddles the fence. Beinicha charei adal savor like Rabbi Yeshua. V'hadar be Rabbi Akiva legabe Rabbi Yeshua, and then, based on our Mishnah here in Shabbos, we now know Rabbi Akiva ended up agreeing to Rabbi Yeshua. How do I know that? Mimai, Amar Rava Midiktani Psilas Habegin. Because here, what are we talking about in our Mishnah? psilas ha-beged, right? A wick of a garment. My area did tell psilas ha-beged, listen, psilas shal-beged. Now, it could have said the wick of a garment, but it doesn't. It says psilas ha-beged. It's in construct form. My psilas ha-beged, da-dain beged who? Meaning that as long as it has utility, as long as I didn't throw it in the garbage, it's a baguette. And so therefore, if it's less than 3x3, and as long as I didn't throw in the garbage, it's still going to be a baguette, subject to the rules of Tumas Begadim. Okay, so we have a Mishnah. It's a difficult Mishnah. We have three possible explanations of the Mishnah. And we also got a lot of time today to discuss the topic of Nolad.